Compassionate Lord, thank you for the gift of faith that will push us beyond unbelief in darkness. So confident in what you have already provided for us. You are the great physician, Lord, and healer of our body and soul. Just as you have restored the health of the woman and the life of Jairus' daughter, we trust in your word and what you have done for us on the cross to bring us into a new creation in Christ. Amen. I am uncertain about how each of us developed such a strong faith that has brought us to this point. I believe each of us has our own unique journey as to how we came to find faith in Christ. While for some people, it is a gradual process, others have a unique or sudden revelation of conversion, like the Apostle Paul's conversion. Still others who have a strong family practice may have slowly unfolded in guided faith, resulting in an in-depth relationship with the Lord. For myself, although my faith was not completely absent, my life has been shaken by debilitating effects of an illness, failures in business, and personal tragedy that brought me down to the core. It was in these worst times that the light of Christ's love carried me and gave me hope, healing and showing me a path to move forward. God's amazing grace humbled me, realizing my need to grasp something greater and to cease being self-centered and absorbed. Instead, I needed to let God redirect me into what he wanted me for his glory. As the psalmist writes, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." We can see these two people in our gospel reading this morning in how their needs brought them to seek the great physician. As Mark recounts, seemingly they were given the revelation of what the psalmist said of the word. He sent to heal them and deliver them. Beginning in verse 21, Mark narrated that Jesus, as soon as he landed at the lakeside of Galilee, a huge crowd came and surrounded him. The following verse told us that there was a certain man named Jairus, whom Mark identified as one of the synagogue's leaders. The synagogue is a Jewish congregation or the house of worship and communal center of a Jewish congregation. Jairus approached Jesus and fell at his feet. When he repeatedly begged Jesus to come with him into their house because his daughter was on the verge of death, Jairus was desperate. He feared for losing his daughter. He believed that if Jesus was to come and lay his hands on her, it would make her well. Jairus, in desperation, forgot himself and his social status as the leaders of synagogue. His pride, and fell before Jesus on his knees, pleading for help. Can you see the Father's love in Jairus' heart? Who could still remember being proud of himself when the lives of his loved ones are at stake? Let me repeat that statement. Who could still remember being proud of himself when the lives of his loved ones are at stake. Instinctively, if we are confronted with a threat or danger to the loved ones, we come to the realization, setting aside our personal agenda to help them. Isn't this the heart of God when he sees that each of his people's lives is at risk of perishing? Jesus agreed to the request of Jairus. On the way to Jairus' house, the crowd continued to follow him, leading us to assume that various individuals are pushing and bumping Jesus. Among this crowd is a woman described by Mark as having suffered from hemorrhages for 12 years. Mark further explained that she endured much under many physicians, relied on them, and spent all that she had to live on, expecting healing, yet she was no better, but rather grew worse. Having heard about Jesus and perhaps his popularity as a healer, she makes her way through the crowd. Who wouldn't become an opportunist when they see that the solution to their needs or problems is at hand or within reach, especially in terms of health matters? She pushes herself through the crowd, focusing on Jesus, saying, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." She was able to come behind Jesus and touch his cloak. Her bleeding at once ceased, and she experienced a sense of healing from her disease. Realizing that power had gone out of him, Jesus turned around and asked his disciples who had touched him as he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, aware of what had happened to her, came out with fear and trembling and admitted that it was her. Jesus commended her, saying, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." There's something we need to look at here. Why did Jesus say to the woman that her faith had made her well? Despite the crowd surrounding her, the woman capitalized on Jesus' presence in that place and time, focusing on him as the solution to her healing need. Despite her condition of her ill feelings, this did not hinder her from reaching out and touching Jesus. A negative thinker might say, "I can see Jesus there. I need to go and touch him." But oh no. The congregation from the Church of the Way has surrounded him. What am I supposed to do? Besides, I am bleeding, I am limping, I am weak, and so on, naming her countless weaknesses. The woman defied her condition. She should have been in isolation. The Mosaic law, as outlined in Leviticus, deemed her unclean due to her bleeding problem. Before, she had been in isolation, thus distancing herself from the public, as anything or anyone she came into contact with her would also become unclean. But her faith didn't even let her think of the dangers resulting from what she was about to do. She found courage to focus her attention on the healer. Her faith in Jesus defied the odds of negativity, making her fearless and expectant to receive healing. But what about nowadays? Like the woman who found healing through her faith in Christ Jesus, we too should find our wholeness in right relationship with God through our faith in Him. Meanwhile, Canon Jim Glennon wrote in his book, "Your healing is within you." And I quote, "Christ heals today in the same way as he healed in the days of his earthly ministry. Because he is the same today as he was yesterday. But now he uses our faith, yours in mine. There is no limit to what God can do. As our case histories have shown, if we know what is available and how to draw on it effectively." Going back to the story of Jairus, there was a bit of delay when Jesus was still speaking to that unidentified woman, commending her and saying that what made her well was her faith. Some people arrived from Jairus' house, informing him that his daughter had already passed away. These people were asking Jairus, "Why trouble the teacher any farther?" And Jesus overheard their conversation. Though Jairus' reaction was not recorded from what he heard from the people, Jesus reassured Jairus not to fear, only believe. Jesus may have been late as these people realized, but there is no concept of lateness for Jesus. This reminds me of the song we sang earlier. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. From that point on, Jesus halted the crowds, allowing only Peter, James, and John to follow him. At Jairus' house, they saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. He entered the house, asked them why they were making such a commotion and weeping, and reassured them that Jairus' child was simply sleeping and not dead. But in their disbelief, the people laughed at him. It is disheartening for these unbelieving individuals as Jesus refuses to allow them to witness the miracles he's about to perform. Instead, he sent them outside of the house. Therefore, Jesus only allowed the child's parents to see the miracle, and those going with him as they went ahead to where the child was. Then he grabbed the 12-year-old girl's hand and told her to get up, which she did, and then walked. Overwhelmed with amazement, Jesus instructed them to keep their witness to the miraculous event secret, ensuring no one would know, and further instructed them to provide the restored girl with something to eat. Jesus reveals his compassion, power, and authority over suffering and death in our story today. Jesus can be accessed by anyone. Jesus can be accessed by anyone, whether they are unknown, like the woman, or a powerful man of great status like Jairus. When they humbled themselves before the Lord and cast out their cares on him, the Lord exalted these two different individuals in due time. The woman, a nobody, and Jairus, a somebody, were elevated by the Lord in due course. Christ Jesus brought together two distinct narratives. The woman, whose old and ailing body died upon touching Jesus, then springs forth another life as she becomes a new creation in Christ. Jairus also trusted in Jesus, the giver of life. And Jesus resurrected his daughter alive in Christ Jesus. For Jesus said he was the resurrection. The Lord be with you.